Hello and welcome into the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I'm Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer, breaking down everything going on with UNLV men's basketball lately, which is quite a lot based on the 7-1 start that they have had to the season. UNLV just coming off of an 80-69 victory against Oregon. The game will go down officially as a neutral court matchup. It was anything but that. UNLV took over the MGM Grand Garden Arena, as you would like to see. As a fan, really made it feel like a home court environment. They did the fireworks, the red carpet, everything beforehand. The students had their fat heads. It was it was good to see, considering last year at MGM Grand, UNLV ended up barely in the majority, maybe a little bit outnumbered by Utah fans. This time, no such luck for the opponent. Oregon came in, really struggled, never led. And now UNLV has two top 15 victories already in its back pocket. Another one of those potentially on slate in a couple of weeks at Arizona. But first up this weekend, first true road game of the season at Wichita State. And they follow that up with another true road game Saturday at UC Riverside. Before we look at those, Ray, just 7-1. They are just on the outside of the top 25 polls, as we wrote on LasVegasSun.com today. They're 28th in the coaches, 30th. In the AP, what is your assessment 8 games in of UNLV?
I think that I was always high on this team. I thought they were going to be good. Still probably pleasantly surprised. Love the way they started against Oregon. Of course, when you're making your shots, it's going to look good. But I thought they had great ball movement. I thought they were playing energetic. I thought they had that step, that extra step in their pace. Whereas when Oregon kind of went on their run in the second half, in fact, holding UNLV scoreless for about 10 minutes, I thought UNLV lacked that. So still learning how to play a complete game, but you see just glimpses of it, whether it was the start against UCLA or some of the blowouts against lower-level teams where this team could be really good. I mean, McCaw is long. He's smart with the ball. Seegers has got that quickness to him where he's still trying to get under control. Ike makes the good shots. Zimmerman, in case you could attest to this, I didn't think Zimmerman would be that good. But Taylor, he's diving for loose balls. He's playing great defense. To me, I think the interior play with Carter and Zimmerman, two guys I covered at Gorman for multiple years, Zimmerman 4 years, I didn't expect them to be so good defensively. And maybe that's the difference.
I agree on Zimmerman. I mean, look, we loved the kid. We knew he was going to be great. But I feel like maybe that last year at Gorman, his senior year, he had just already accomplished so much. He was already one of the best players in town. But it seemed like he was really kind of tweaking his game, trying to bring in new things. He was away from the basket a lot more. And I just never thought he was going to be this good defensively right away. I mean, even though he is 7 foot, I felt like watching that Oregon game, it was really hard to get anything up on him, even when his shot wasn't falling. I know he's on a bad ankle, too. It just seemed like he was doing a lot of things that I felt like he didn't do his senior year at Gorman. So I've been very impressed with him as well.
And I thought that he was trying to be more of an outside-in type of player and that he wasn't going to be, as willing to go inside. But he's battling for rebounds, really good on the interior.
Yeah, I think there were some concerns about that, or at least I can say I had some concerns about that because he wants that to be part of his game. But I feel like he, better than the obvious recent example is Chris Wood. Steven more quickly earlier is able to find a way to integrate that and to just have it be a small part of his game as opposed to like the one thing that he goes to and over and over, because that's not what UNLV needs. They're trying to spread the ball out a little more, and they have capable wing players. They can have McCaw handling things outside, Seegers, Wamu, Derek Jones can kind of do a little bit of both, and they would prefer that towards Zimmerman being on the outside a ton because it's just not necessary.
Yeah, Jones struggled a little bit, had some turnovers, got some fouls. He was the one guy, this is my first game that I saw in person, he was the one guy I wanted to see. Sure, everybody wants to see a good dunk, and I think whenever he touched the ball, the arena was like, okay, here he goes. He's going to slam something. But I just wanted to see how he moved in the flow of the offense because in the early season, one of the surprises, I think, for me and for several is that Derrick Jones is more than that dunker. We thought eventually his game would progress to where he could do more than that, but he's shown us right away how good he could be off the ball, how good of a shooter he is, how good of a facilitator he is. And obviously he played, I think, 7 or 8 minutes, so we didn't get a chance to see that against Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, part of the thing with his game is going to be inconsistency. He is, you know, shown more flashes and shown more ability than I think most of us thought when he first committed. But that is going to just disappear sometimes, either because of foul trouble or just not making the right plays, things like that. He is still, you know, relying on just crashing to the glass and throwing things at the rim every once in a while. And, you know, occasionally that's going to fall, and so it's going to look really good in the box score. And other times it's just, you know, really hard throws off of the backboard as opposed to shots. So he's figuring it out. But I think you always figure it's going to be kind of up and down for him. But they have gotten consistency. Look, Ben Carter didn't do a ton that, you know, shows up as far as extreme, you know, box score stats. I think the Rebels had 5 guys scoring double figures. He was one of them in the Oregon game. But he did a lot, drew 2 charges. He had also drawn, I think, 3 in the game against Indiana. So both of the top 15 victories. Just doing the you know, the quote glue guy type of stuff that he has the reputation for, while also being able to fill it up a little more scoring and rebounding. Looking ahead here, well, actually, just last thing on those 2 games, because that is the stat. Both of those teams, Indiana and Oregon, were top 15 when the Rebels played them. How good are those wins? Because I know I have an opinion on this, but I haven't talked to you guys a ton about it. Just what are your thoughts on, you know, what the resume actually shows at this point?
Brewer's pointing at me, I guess, because he's hoping I say something to set him off.
I know the correct answer. I just want to see.
But I don't think I am. I think you got to give the Rebels a hand for beating both these teams. I know Oregon was beat up and I think suffered another injury in the game when it was kind of close. And Indiana hasn't looked like the same team. But you go back, I think just a week ago, I was making the argument that maybe UCLA wasn't so great and I wasn't that impressed with a 2-point loss. But then they go and beat Kentucky, who people thought was the top team in the nation. So this thing's just all really – it's just so hard to tell in the moment. I mean, we could say right now, if we go the route and say, oh, these are huge wins, they were both in the top 15 – they could suffer some more losses and it won't look that way, even though I don't think these are top 15 teams. Or you could go the other way and say these teams aren't that good and then they reel off a couple wins. I think you just kind of have to sit back and see what happens.
That is true, but I think push comes to shove. UNLV basketball's beaten two major conference teams who at the time were ranked in the top 15, and that's going to carry a lot of street cred moving forward.
That wasn't the question.
What was the question?
It was, what does it actually mean? And you're all excited, like, I know the answer. I know what's right.
What does it mean in the whole grand scheme of things?
Well, no, but we're saying we know it's 2 top 15 victories. What I'm getting at is that one of them isn't even in the polls anymore and was already heading out by the time UNLV beat them. And the other one fell because of this. They're without 2 players, as Kay said, had a 3rd get injured in the game. So what do you actually think of the wins?
I still think they're good. I think that they beat teams with good players who they were, you know, underdogs.
Whose jersey names you've heard of.
Exactly. Who were underdogs. The Rebels were underdogs in the games. They came out. They grew double-digit leads. One time they hung on. One time they hung on and then closed off. They're 7-1. It's better than being 4-4 or 5-3 or whatever it may be. They have victories that look good. They're not searching for a win to define their season or enhance their resume. It's a team that
they are. They're always looking to enhance their resume.
They're not desperate to enhance it.
Yeah.
You disagree. I hate your facial expressions.
What?
You're scared.
You said they're not enhanced. They're always trying to enhance. What do you think the whole schedule is for?
No, they're trying to. But for me, it's like, here's the weird thing is, let me take you back. You were there last year, of course. Last year they finished non-league, I think, 9-3?
Sounds right. And it was 3 losses.
And they had the Arizona win.
Yep.
Right? And I was as giddy as a schoolgirl getting asked to the prom. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I felt good last year. I felt that, you know, at 9-2 with an Arizona win, you know, nationally ranked opponent, that everything was heading the right direction. So I think the key is they have to keep it up. You know, what does it mean? It means you're heading on the right track, but you were on the right track before. You have to keep it up because you could have made the same argument last year.
Yeah, I mean, the reasons to feel better this year, other than the obvious depth and just overall personnel, not the same type of warning signs. You know, the Arizona State game last year where you end up losing by like 20, just get blown out of the gym in the second half. You know, the zone offense, sure, that's concerning. A lot of teams struggle with that. It's something you got to work on. As I said, the free throws, they're going to be fine from that. And so it's really, to me, it's just kind of figuring out, at least that's one of the major keys, because you're going to see a ton of zone going forward. So just being as comfortable as possible handling that. But they don't have the same concerns as last year, and they're already in a better position than last year because Arizona was it. You know, that was the one and only in non-conference last year by the time it was all said and done. Now they already have two that were top 15, and Indiana, I don't know. I don't know what they'll end up being, but Oregon's going to be good, especially once they get the senior point guard back, once they get the – and, of course, I've already blanked on the guys' names
Dorsey.
Anymore. But no, not Dorsey because he was in the game. Bell is the other one who they were without, and then Dorsey is the one who went down during the game, but he's supposed to be fine. What?
He was once they he was got injured. That's what I.
But he was looking for the two guys that didn't play.
The
at
two
all.
Without
Dorsey still played like 30 minutes. Or
yeah,
something
it wasn't.
And
like
he can't,
asked
and
me what 4+4 was, and I told you 16.
That'd be 4 times 4. That's a similar misunderstanding.
Yeah,
actually, that's doesn't. Man, I'm just.
I'm actually.
You can't do anything right in my eyes today. Apparently, I don't understand it.
Maybe the biggest concern, one that you mentioned, I feel that people talk about a lot, that I'm not as concerned about, is the zone offense. I feel like UNLV fans are freaking out about that, and it's true they haven't looked good, but I thought in this Oregon game they just missed some I feel like they got a few decent shots, and it was like sheer aggression. I mean, in the first half, they were hitting everything. You knew they were going to keep up at that pace, and I felt like one of those other games they started hot, UCLA, Indiana, was the same way. I know they have work to do in that regard, but I mean, this is still a team that's coming together, and that really isn't like the huge big thing that I'm extremely concerned about, like it seems like some other people are.
Yeah, and the ball movement was really good. Really good against Oregon for most of the game. Go ahead, Ray.
You know, I worry moving forward. Eventually, every team is faced with some kind of adversity. A loss, multiple losses in a row. It'll eventually happen. How does this team respond to it? How does it get back on track? Who gets it back on track? You know, I also worry about, you know, they're one injury away from, you know, being thin in the front court.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the concern when Good Luck left, not necessarily how much it impacts them right now in the rotation, but if something were to happen.
Yeah, and again, I just think – I mean, I didn't have a low opinion of Carter, but, you know, I think I've said this last week or multiple times when he came here. You know, I think my first comment to Kiefer was, like, this dude is a foul machine.
You were always very concerned with that. And he had and his foul rate wasn't good necessarily at Oregon, but he also rarely got the type of minutes that you could see it play out, and you know, to your point, part of that could have been the fouls. I don't feel like that part was ever as big of an issue as you were worried about.
I just thought he'd be a role player, 8 guy 9 guy, 15-20 minutes off the bench, and not only is he playing for UNLV, but he's been really good. I mean, offensively he's been good, defensively he's been good, unselfish, wants to pass the ball. You could see, and I wrote about this in my column, you could see the experience. You know, UNLV still has that young talent, McCaw, Jones, Zimmerman, right? But mix it in now with some solid experience guys, Carter, right? Seegers, who I'm still high on, Ike, right? Guys who've played in important games, guys who've played a combined 12, 13 years of college basketball. And that experience, for me, I think, is the difference.
So a little more than 4 years ago, UNLV goes to Wichita State. It was Dave Rice's first loss. They went down 89-70. And since then, so this is more than four full seasons, Wichita State has lost at Coke Arena 3 times. So, and even in their struggles this year, starting 4-3, I believe it is, they have not lost at home. Or sorry, 3-4 is the record. And their last win over the weekend at St. Louis, 68-53, that was Fred Van Fleet's first game back after missing a few with a hamstring injury. So Wichita State back to at least the health that matters. I know they've got a reserve guard who's out for extended minutes, and I'm not sure the kid who got carted off the other day or a week ago against Alabama, I'm not sure his exact status right now. But they have their most important player, Van Fleet, back. What are you guys kind of expecting out of this? Whether they had him or not, going to Wichita State is not an easy game. But with him in there, obviously they are much closer to the – and don't forget, they were preseason top 10 team.
Kiefer used to live in Wichita.
Yeah, really tough place to play. Been to some games at Wichita State. I will say UNLV's catching another break. In addition to the ones you just mentioned, is Connor Frankamp gets to suit up Saturday is when he's eligible.
Oh, that's so right. I forgot he's not back.
I know Wichita's very high on him, and I am too. I mean, he did some good things for Kansas as a freshman. So I think you're catching Wichita State at a decent time, but it is just so hard to go there and win. And I think this team might not have as much depth as UNLV, but I think at the top, I mean, you start a team with Baker and Van Vliet, that's tough to take. I will say, I think Brewer and I, maybe even you last week, agreed. I really thought they needed to go 3-2 in this crazy stretch, and I think getting that Oregon win is huge going into Wichita State. I feel like if they lost that and they lost Wichita State, I mean, who knows what the mood around town would be drastically different. I feel like now you can go in there and kind of play a little bit more carefree and see what happens.
I know that this game, part of the Mountain West challenge with
Missouri Valley,
wasn't ideal for UNLV having to go to
Wichita. Oh, yeah, they were pissed about it.
Yeah, having to go to Wichita again. Maybe a blessing in disguise, though, because the Mountain West, to me, is very winnable for UNLV. I think, to me, they're going to win the league. But it's impossible to play on the road in the Mountain West. Yeah, and you just got to win a lot of road games at Wyoming, at Colorado State, at Air Force. You're dealing with altitudes and fans. So might as well go to Wichita State, get a dry run for when it matters later in the season.
Yeah, I like the game. I understand the point that it would have been better served to give to one of the Mountain West teams that doesn't really schedule the way that UNLV does. But The game is what it is. It's a good opportunity for UNLV to go test itself, see kind of where things are at, see if they can keep this momentum going, try and make it five games in a row. So that's where I will be following that up with at Riverside over the weekend. Going to be interesting. If they win both, obviously UNLV will be ranked in next week's poll. And then, we still have Arizona State, who just picked off number 18, Texas A&M, knocked them out of the polls, and then at Arizona. So still a lot of very interesting games left in the non-conference slate for UNLV. And for Case, for Ray, I'm Taylor. That'll do it for this week's Rebel Room. We'll talk to you guys next week.